your attention to Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24, 25, and also Jeremiah 26, verses 1 and 2. Let me read there. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Cuttha, and from Ava, and from Hamtha, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria, instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria, and dwelt in the city thereof. Verse 25, and it was so at the beginning. Someone say beginning. At the beginning of their dwelling, that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. A contrasting portion of Scripture from Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning at verse number 1. Jeremiah 26, verse 1, in the beginning. Someone say beginning. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship the Lord, or in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. So, in this contrasting view, they received the word of the Lord from the beginning. Here's my very, very simple topic. They began. Would you say that with me? They began. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I know, Lord, that you're able, and I pray even right now that in the name of Jesus, Lord, you would have your way here today. Lord, let the Spirit, let the Holy Ghost, let the presence of God, Lord, begin something new in lives that are here today to touch us in a way, Lord, that is fresh and powerful. I pray that you would put words in my mouth and open our hearing and touch, Lord, our understanding. Let your purpose, Lord, be done here today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It's a significant, in fact, it's a matter of fact. It's just so that the way an endeavor begins is so vitally important to the overall success or sometimes the failure of that endeavor. Amen. In our text, the two contrasting portions of scriptures that I read today, there you'll find two very different beginnings. Stark difference in contrast between them. The first that I read was after the Assyrians had taken control of the city of Samaria. They'd done it in battle. They'd won it in war. They were moving in to possess the city and the land. The king of Assyria repopulated the cities of Samaria with men from Babylon, from Cuttha, etc. And the men that moved into that place, men who feared not. Someone say not. People who feared not the Lord. I tell you, there's a whole bunch of people in our world today that have no fear of God. They don't even think about the things of God. They're not trusting in God. And that's a lot of our society. A lot of people don't think about God or trust in God. That's how it was then, and it's even so today. Now, their fatal mistake was from their beginning, when they just moved into the area, when they began to inhabitate Samaria, when they went to build with men in that place, they populated it with people who feared not the Lord. Now, contrast again. If you are a part of this church in any capacity, if you want a vital relationship with God to begin, to develop, or hopefully to grow, it is vitally important that you have a healthy fear of the Lord. Amen. I'm not saying that you need to be afraid of God, but you need to have a respect for Him. You need to have an understanding of Him. I'd rather that we would have a reverence, a respect for God. Amen. Psalms 111 in verse number 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to know who God is. Amen. It's not a small thing. To understand who God is a fabulously great revelation. Amen. Don't take it for granted. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. I want to recognize and have reverence for and even have a fear of the Lord. The second example, Josiah, who was king, is now dead. Jehoiakim, his son, reigns in his stead. And at the beginning of his reign, the new reign of a new king, it's the beginning of his kingship. God speaks to him, saying, "Speak all the words that I command thee. Diminish not a word." Don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back that God would say to the people. Man, I want to live my life like that. I want to live in such a way that I want to give everything that God has given me to everybody that will hear me. I want to, the Jesus that I know, I hope everybody gets to know. I know a great God, and I hope you'll know Him too. Amen. God told Jehoiakim, "Begin your reign on the right foot. Build your life, your kingdom, your kingship on the Word of God." I tell you, you can build your life on Jesus Christ. You can build your work ethic on Jesus Christ. You can build your marriage, your relationship, and your friendships. You can build the stability of your family on Jesus Christ. Amen. Your marriage on Jesus. Your family in Jesus. Your job is blessed when you live for Jesus. Your relationships are strengthened when it's in Jesus. I tell you, everything is better when you're living for the Lord. You see, some, in fact, I would say too many people in our world turn to God when everything is going south. They're going wrong. They're going off the cliff. They're gone crazy. There's a whole bunch of places and a whole bunch of people that are suffering from craziness in our world today. Chaos and confusion. Man, if you live for God hard, decisions become easy. You know, when I've made up my mind, I'm going to live for God no matter what, no matter who else does. When I made up my mind that I'm going to live for God and believe the Bible, decisions become easy. There's some places I'm not going. There's things I choose not to do because I've chosen to live for Jesus Christ. You know, it's not even a second thought. Those temptations are not really temptations to me anymore. You know, it's not a temptation for me to go to the bar. I'm just not going there. I'm not doing those things. I am going to live for Jesus. Amen. I don't want to turn to God when everything has gone off the cliff, when I'm living in the gutter. I don't want it to have to get that bad. Build your foundation, your life, on the Word of God from the very beginning. It's going to save you a whole lot of hardships. It'll save you a whole lot of headache if you will just live for God. Lord, help us to build this church on the Word of God. Amen. It's somebody in our elements class today, who's the head of the church? Oh, the pastor. Well, I guess of our legal local organization, yeah, the pastor's in charge, but we want to build on Jesus Christ. We want to build on the foundation of the Word of God. Amen. We want to build on the Word itself. We want to be a people of God that are following Jesus. Amen. That we want to live our lives for God. Amen. Help us build this church, Lord, on your Word. Every ministry, from the toddler class to the Sunday school class that's talking about Jesus right now in the back, to the youth class, to the ladies' ministries, men's ministries, whatever it might be, wherever it is, that whatever we're doing, everything, the tent meeting that our church is a part of, Brother Dyke is there right now. Our tent, they're using our tent, but this church is involved in a service somewhere else. But let it be for the name of Jesus. Everything. Everything. Start right, end right. It makes sense to me. I try to think of things just as simple as I can. I want to start right. I want to live right. I want to end right. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And when we're living in the flesh, we can only get things of the flesh. That which is born of the Spirit now is spirit. If you want your efforts to end in the Spirit, they must be born or begin in the Spirit. You cannot start in the flesh and hope to end in the Spirit. And it would just be silly, foolish to start in the Spirit and fall off the cliff and end in the flesh. That would just be a sad story. Back to Scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 is where I want to begin. Would you bring me that box of tissues right there, please? Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Happy to report, the big tent stayed up just fine in the big wind. Praise the Lord. Is that right?
That's
right. Oh, praise the Lord. I did hear that report, so. Blew the chairs away. Blew the basketball hoop away. Blew a little pop-up tent away. Praise the Lord. The rain descended and floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Oh, wait a minute. I missed a verse. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. If we hear about the word and we don't do it, if we do them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, floods came, and winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Man, I don't want what I'm doing to fall apart. I don't want my life to go to pieces. I don't want the world to overtake me in chaos and confusion. I don't want my end of my life to end in disaster. I want to live for God. The Holy Ghost is prompting us that we can usher in revival. God wants to invoke his blessings on your life. God wants to bless you in your family. Amen. That was point number one. God can and wants to bless you in your life. He wants to bring revival to our church. Number two, we can gain heaven's attention. There are things we can do that will get the attention of God. And number three, we can have the promised move of God. Every single, bar none, zero, every promise in the Word of God, we can have in our life today. Amen. God can save our souls. God can heal our body. God can change our lives. God is able to save us no matter where we came from, no matter what history we have. God is greater than everything. Amen. I want God in my life so desperately. I want God in my life as long as I have breath. I plan to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm passionate about living for God. We cannot simply go through the motions of a religious ceremony. We can't just expect church to be a place of entertainment. No, it's more than that. I am willing, I want to do anything that God wants me to do to have a genuine move of God in our midst. Amen. Whatever it takes, God. Man, it's a thrilling thing when God does something in your life. When God gives you a revelation of who he is. Or when God heals your body. Or when you are baptized in Jesus' name and you feel the electrifying power of the presence of God changing your life. It's wonderful. Amen. A powerful principle is illustrated throughout God's word. In the Old Testament, there were times between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I've heard scholars and read commentaries that said that there was 400 years. Not 4 years, not four dozen, 400. Centuries went by when there was no fresh word from God. There were entire centuries that passed without God moving on behalf of the people of Israel. Then, out of seeming obscurity, would come a person with passion, a person perhaps that have gotten to the point of being desperate for a move of God in their life, in their family, in their nation. At that point, God would move mountains for these passionate and desperate people. God did wonderful miracles recorded in the Word. Now, thinking of it, why then? Why was God at those silent times? Why was God withholding His blessings? What was He waiting for? Or perhaps what prompted Him to eventually move on behalf of His people? What moved Him to actually do miracles before the children of Israel? You will find at the onset or at the beginning of every great Bible story, every great biblical account, there was a man or a woman who simply, get this, it's deep, began. Oh, that's a deep word, isn't it? They began to follow the word of the Lord. They began to worship and praise and magnify. They began. Really? Can it be that simple? It's no more complicated than that. They just began. They began to do something for God. And God honored their faith, their intentions, and their efforts. God notices when you begin. When you begin something for God, God pays attention. God is seeing what you're doing. God knows the change that has happened. I've heard it said even recently, to begin is half the battle. There's a whole lot of truth in that. To get going, you gotta begin. Someone say begin. You gotta begin living for God. You gotta, if you are living for God, you want God to do something new in your life, well, you gotta begin doing something new. You gotta begin being more committed. You gotta begin doing something new in the Lord. If you keep doing what you've been doing over and over and over again, and you're wanting it to get a different result, you, my friend, are losing your mind. If you just keep going in that silly, carnal, worldly circle over and over and over again, and you're sick of the chaos and the confusion, and you're sick of the routine of being worldly and carnal, you're sick of the worldliness of the world, well, then get off the merry-go-round. You gotta begin to live for God. If you think you're gonna get better by staying in that circle, you have lost your mind. You've gone crazy. You gotta begin living for God. When Elijah began the evening offering, 450 prophets of Baal had already did their exuberant show, cutting themselves and crying out loud and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. No move of God. But when Elijah tore down their stuff, built up a different altar, and began the evening sacrifice, the fire from heaven came down and consumed. They poured water on it and everything. And I don't know, I've built a lot of fires in my wood stove in my days, and having wet wood is not a good idea. But he poured water all over it. Water filled up, ran down the altar, filled up a trench. They poured barrels and barrels and barrels. And then God came down. When they began the evening sacrifice, the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the wood, consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water that was in the trench. I'm telling you, God moved when his people began the right kind of sacrifice. When the children of Israel began to blow the trumpets and to shout the shout of victory, when they began to go into the promised land, the walls of Jericho that were so great, the chariots raced on top, that city was impregnable, if you can say that word. I can't. It was a fortified city that they just couldn't be defeated. Well, God sunk the walls right into the ground, went flat all the way around the city when they began to follow what God said. Break the pitchers, blow the trumpets, and shout the victory. They did it, and God fought the battle. God won the victory. God can fight your battle. What seems like you cannot win, God can win for you. God will do it instead of you. God will do it in spite of you when you follow God. I tell you, there's nothing too hard for God. When Hezekiah began to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, Sennacherib had captured all the other countries. He was telling the people, don't listen to your prophet. God's not going to deliver you. You need to give up and surrender to me right now. Well, when Hezekiah did what was right unto the Lord, God destroyed the armies of Sennacherib. Amen. When the four lepers began to walk toward the encampment of the Assyrians. Now, there was a great famine in the land. There wasn't much food in the city. So if they went back into the city, they were going to die. If they stayed where they were, they had leprosy and they were going to die. Why don't we go to the Syrians? If they kill us, we're only going to die. If they save us alive, we might live. So they began to go. And God used their beginning. Now the city had been encamped to the point where the people in the city were about to starve. But when these four men began to go out towards the enemy, God used their beginning to make it sound like an army of horses and chariots and metal clanking. And they could hear in the middle of the night, the armies from the other countries are coming against us. We got to flee for our lives. And the enemy ran away. Left their tents, left their campfires, left their food, left their provisions, left their weapons. You know, they ran around. Ooh, look, I got some new clothes. Oh, look, I found some gold. Oh, look, I got the weapons. Oh, look, I got horses. Oh, got everything. God gave us everything. If we stay silent, that's not good. So they had to go back and tell the people. People came out, and the next day they were selling all the food they wanted in the city for just a little pence. Everybody had the food they needed. The city was delivered, and God gave them a great victory when four lepers began. Maybe you think, well, I'm not a preacher. My family is not in the preacher's family. You know, you could give lots of reasons why. But it's time to begin. Amen. When Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises unto God at midnight in the prison, in the dungeon, with their hands and feet shackled to the wall, when they began... Yeah, they were in a tough strait. Yeah, they were in a bad place. Yeah, they were didn't have any control, but with their hands and feet shackled in the prison with a guard looking at them, they began to praise the Lord. They began to worship God. God heard them. God heard them in there when they began to praise the Lord. The shackles fell off of their wrists, fell off of their feet. The prison doors went open. God delivered a victory. I don't know how bad. Maybe your situation isn't quite that bad. Or maybe it is. But regardless, you have to begin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah and were smitten. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Why pray? Because God answers prayer. Why fast? Because fasting helps us to be more sensitive to the will of God. Where there is much prayer, there is much power. Amen. Jehoshaphat appointed singers and instructed them to go before the army praising the Lord. You know, that doesn't make a lick of earthly sense. Why would you put the band out in front of the soldiers? But that's what they did. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They were appointed, they began to sing and to praise the Lord. And the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. God fought their battle. Excuse me. When they began, God did it. God could have defeated that enemy at any time. God could have spoken his word and put the enemy to flight. God could have destroyed that enemy in a moment. There was no inability in God. God is able. It seems as though heaven waits on the church to begin. God's waiting on us to begin. The word beginning in the Bible, you type it in your computer, 109 times, beginning. Began, 179 times. Begin, 34 times. Begun, 11 times. Over and over and over, there were things that they began. It would appear that heaven actually waits on the church to begin. And when we begin, heaven comes to attention. Heaven assembles powerful angelic armies, and the presence and the power of an almighty God is working on our behalf when we begin. Not before, when. This church stands toe to toe with the enemies of false doctrine. There's a lot of religion out there that is not preaching Jesus Christ as the Almighty God. There's a lot of sinfulness out there. There's a lot of perversion out there. There's a lot of anti-God sentiments out there. But in this city, within its city limits, resides every sinful habit known to man. In New London County, there's all kinds. Every sort, every facet, every imaginable wickedness and sin is right here in our own community. But recently, heaven turned its attention this way. We just had a revival with Brother Crowder, and we had 11 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 7 of those people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We had people that have already previously been baptized receive the Holy Ghost. We had God move in miraculous ways. It was absolutely wonderful and beautiful. God is moving in our midst. We don't have to wait. We just gotta begin. Amen. It's not time to continue in other things. It's time to begin our life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Why did that happen? Because a handful of people were willing to begin to lift up Jesus Christ. Let's put him in his rightful place. Would you do that with me right now? Would you lift your hand and just for a moment worship the Lord with me? Lord, I love you. Jesus, it's you, Lord, that we worship, that we adore, that we give glory to. Wonderful God, I praise you. Lord, I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Begin to worship God. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, another portion of Scripture. I know I'm getting close to closing here. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 10, of the house of Zadok answered him and said, since the people began, someone say began. Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left this plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. There's a principle in giving. Amen. It's not a coincidence that God opens the windows of heaven when you give. It's a principle. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Andre. Prove me, God said. The eternal principle is activated in your giving. When you begin to arrest, you begin in heaven, pays attention. Heaven and hell sees you filling out an offering envelope. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you give, God, by His word, promises to bless you. Amen. It's a principle. When you begin, God fulfills. How bad do you want a move of God in your life? How bad do you want a move of God in your life? Think about it. Where is God going to break out His power? Who is God going to bestow blessings upon? Is it just random and God pours out blessing on lands on anybody? No. It doesn't work that way. We begin and God blesses. Amen. You begin to be faithful and God will bless your faithfulness. Amen. Is God going to bless those that are sitting on their laurels? Those who are passing the time? Those who are going just through the motions? Or those who, what if they're indifferent or apathetic toward a move of God? No, God isn't random. No. You got to begin and God will do. Amen. Amen. If you want revival in your life, you can have it. If you want the blessings of God in your life, you can have it. If you want to aggressively pursue revival, if you are desperate for revival, then begin. Amen. Begin to do the thing that God wants you to do. If this is your first day in church, then begin to live for God from right now, from today. Begin your walk with God and God will bless your life. If you've been here for a while, begin what God is leading you in and God will help you succeed. Begin! Praise the Lord. When I come into the house of God, I've got to make up in my mind. I am going to worship the Lord. Amen. Doesn't matter who else does or who else doesn't. As for me, I have come to worship the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I jump. All the time I pray. I do practice fasting and giving, worship and preaching. I'll tell you what, going and evangelizing what they're doing in Naugatuck today, it's all a part of the plan of God. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Musician, would you come? Oh, there's a drummer. Two of them, musicians. Singers, come. Stand with me, I'm getting ready to close. Just read a little bit of scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Here we are. We're in the same building together today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began, someone say begin. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jumping down in Acts chapter 2 to verse 36. Therefore let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I tell you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now when they heard this, when they heard about Jesus, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, zero excluded. God wants every living person that has ever been born on the face of the earth, in every nation under heaven, he wants everybody to have this experience. Amen. Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What to do and how to do it in the name of Jesus tells us why, for the remission of sins. It's the name of Jesus that paid for our sins. That's why we get baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And ye shall, someone say shall. Doesn't say maybe, or a select few, or the leadership will, or the pastor will. It says, and ye. You should be pointing at the middle of your own chest. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And my most favorite verse of Scripture in the whole Bible, for the promise is unto you and to your children. I'm so thankful for that. And to all that are far off, that includes us. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing his mind. Here's the thought. There's something God wants to do in every one of our lives. Every one of us. All of us. God wants to do something very special and unique in your life. And what needs to happen for God to do what he's going to do is that we, point at yourself, I need to begin.
Yes.
It's so simple. Man, this is not a complicated message. This is a simple message. A simple message that all I need to do is begin.
Hallelujah.
And God will bring me where I need to go. God will lead me in what I need to know. God will put words in my mouth, and God will give me favor, and God will do the miracle. God is able to heal your body. God is able to save your soul. God is able. Whatever your need is, I tell you right now in confidence, my God is able. He's waiting on us to begin. Would you join me at this altar? Would you begin right now that next step in your walk with God? Would you begin right now to praise and worship the Lord? Come and join us. We're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to lift our hands and pray and seek his face and trust in him. Let's begin right now.